Judge Thayer told his friends around that he had cut the radicals down. Anarchist Bastard was the name Judge Thayer called these two good men. I'll tell you the prosecutor's name, Katzman, Adams, Williams, Kane. The judge and lawyer strutted down, they done more tricks than circus clowns. Two good men.
The Haymarket Affair, a pivotal event in the history of both the anarchist and labor movements, really took off on May the 4th, 1886, in Chicago.
To the bright light city, sweet old Chicago.
Striking workers were holding a peaceful meeting in Haymarket Square when the police began to approach and ordered the meeting to be dispersed. A bomb was thrown into the crowd of police, instantly killing at least one and injuring many others. In the aftermath, eight of Chicago's most well-known anarchist leaders were put on trial and charged for murder. This event would change the face of anarchism all over the world.
Sweet old Chicago. Well, all right, man.
Here, Howard Zinn will take us back to the Haymarket Square in Chicago in 1886 to give us an in-depth look into the situation. Howard Zinn is a professor at the University of Boston. He is a historian, activist, playwright, author, and lover of freedom. Of his many books, his most famous is A People's History of the United States.
To that bright light city, sweet old Chicago.
Of course, we're doing a documentary looking at the history of anarchism, and one of the things we wanted to focus on was the struggle for the 8-hour workday and the Haymarket incident. Mm. So maybe you could start by taking us back to that and explaining how exactly the struggle for the 8-hour workday came about and how it was influenced by anarchists.
Well, the struggle for the 8-hour day, you know, began before the 1880s. That was before that dramatic event of the Haymarket Affair. There had been campaigns for lowering the hours of the workday from the beginning of the 19th century. But by the 1880s, and by this time, there have been a number of national labor organizations, the Knights of Labor, and in the 1880s, the American Federation of Labor was formed. And so by the 1880s, there was a kind of national movement for an 8-hour day, and took the form of strikes in various parts of the country, and there were some successes with these strikes to the 8-hour day. But probably the important turning point in the movement for the 8-hour day came in 1886 with the Haymarket Affair. And what happened there was in Chicago, that there was a strike in that city against the International Harvester Company, which was a big company manufacturing farm products, farm machinery. And a clash on the picket line, the police shot a number of the strikers. This led to an immediate cry of protest, which was led by the anarchists. That is, there was a strong anarchist movement in Chicago. Some of these anarchists had come over from Germany, where there was a very powerful radical movement, to some extent influenced by Karl Marx, or to some extent influenced by Bakunin, the anarchist. But there were also Native American, that is, people who were born in the United States who became leading anarchists. So one of these was Albert Parsons, who in fact was a, an American white person who had come from the South, who had, in fact, fought for the Confederacy during the Civil War, and sometime after that became socially conscious and became a radical and became a part of the anarchist movement in Chicago. So the anarchist movement in Chicago was quite strong, quite influential. They had their own newspaper called The Alarm. And they reacted to the shooting of the strikers at the International Harvester plant by calling for a rally, a protest rally, to take place at Haymarket Square in Chicago. And that happened a couple of days later. That rally was a peaceful rally attended by, we don't know how many, 1,000 or 2,000 people. It was addressed by various people, including some of the anarchist leaders, and it was a peaceful meeting, as everybody reported. But the at a certain point, when the meeting was almost over, a contingent of police arrived and demanded that the meeting come to an end, and the person on the platform said, no, we are almost finished, and we insist on our right to continue speaking, whereupon the police barged into the crowd with their clubs. And at that point, a bomb exploded in the midst of the police. And seven policemen were killed. A number were injured, whereupon the police themselves began shooting and clubbing and killing a number of people in the crowd. That was the Haymarket affair. In fact, nobody ever knew who threw the bomb that exploded amidst the police. To this day, there are all sorts of speculation, but never any clear evidence about who threw the bomb. And certainly there was no clear evidence at that time. But the Chicago police insisted that whoever threw the bomb must have been provoked by the anarchists. And it's true, the anarchists very often wrote provocative leaflets and provocative articles, and they were not totally nonviolent people. However, there was certainly no evidence that they were responsible for that bomb. What happened in Chicago then was that the eight leading anarchists in Chicago were arrested and put on trial for conspiracy. Now, the interesting thing about about conspiracy law, which is still used all over the country and used in federal law, in conspiracy law, you don't have to prove that anybody actually did anything. You just have to prove that they planned to do something. They were tried under the conspiracy law on the claim that whoever did throw the bomb was inspired by the anarchists, and they were convicted by a jury, and then they were sentenced to death, eight of them. I'm thinking of 9/11. I'm thinking of September 11th, 2001, when this terrorist attack occurred in New York and in Washington, and 3,000 people were killed. Well, the government of the United States immediately declared war on terrorism and immediately attacked and invaded Afghanistan. And then, of course, as we see a year later, invades and attacks Iraq. I would guess that this is something that the United States had wanted to do anyway, wanted to get more footholds in the Middle East, wanted to get more military bases, wanted to get rid of government in Iraq. Dictator or not, the United States had never cared particularly whether government was dictatorial or not, just cared whether that government would play cooperatively with the United States, wanted to get rid of a government that controlled a huge amount of oil that is in Iraq and was not cooperative with the United States. So the cataclysmic event of September 11th created an opportunity for the United States government to do what it had wanted anyway. And I think the Haymarket affair gave the Chicago police an opportunity to lop off the get rid of the top leadership of the anarchist movement in Chicago. You know, the Haymarket affair was a stimulus to certain anarchists. I mean, there's a very specific example of Emma Goldman, the American anarchist feminist, who as a young girl in 1887 heard of the execution of the four anarchist leaders. And this aroused her to a fury, got her interested in anarchist ideas. She went to New York and became involved with an anarchist group in New York, including Alexander Berkman.
We want to kind of draw out some of the legacies of the Haymarket Affair. What do we see now, within workers' movements, within the anarchist movement that came out from this time?
All we can say is that the labor movement continued to grow in the United States. And there were always radical influences in the labor movement. The labor movement has always consisted of people who are in the labor movement simply to get better conditions for workers. But the labor movements have always had, as some of their most important, most active members, people who went beyond that, people who wanted more than, better working conditions and shorter hours and better pay, people who wanted a change, radical change in the economic system. You had strikes in the United States, a huge number of strikes in the late 19th, early 20th century. So anarchists have always played a kind of leading role in whatever movements, especially labor movements, there have been.
To the bright light city, sweet old Chicago.